It's a good thing. So today and every day, we should celebrate and honor our moms. That's a big thing. We should, today we come to you if you're a mom and we honor you. We honor our new moms. We honor moms of grown children. We honor moms-to-be. We honor birth moms. We honor adoptive moms, foster moms. We honor grieving moms. We honor those grieving the loss of their mom. We honor those who long to be moms. We honor those even that had moms who were hard moms, who maybe weren't there, who maybe left you. And we honor the women who have mothered others through love, wisdom, sacrifice, and as Kelsey said, their presence. And so today we take great joy in honoring those people, but also knowing that it's hard, and it's a hard day for so many of you here today. And so, and just understand that God knows right where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your son, Jesus, who reminds us of perfection, who reminds us of glory, who reminds us of love, reminds us of all the things that are good in this life. And we are so thankful for him and for you sending him to this place to rescue us. I pray for this morning as we look in your word that you would just begin that, continue that transformation project that you're doing in us. Because God, when you made us perfect, but then we kind of got in this world and we have picked up things that we shouldn't pick up and we have adapted to things that we shouldn't adapt it to. So God, just be with us and help us to be transformed today by the renewing of our minds and our spirit. We love you and praise your name. Amen. We're in a series called Core Transformation, and we're talking basically about your character, who you are when nobody's around, who you are when nobody's looking, and that's a hard place to be. And today I want to continue in this theme by talking about how God builds your core through faith opportunities, how he does it by testing, by trialing your faith, because when that happens, something in us, deep in us, changes. Something deep in us moves. Something deep in us goes in a way that we never, ever thought possible. One of the spiritual laws of spiritual growth is the values, and a value that our church very much values, is that God's number one goal for us and for you is to live your life and to look like Jesus, for your life to look like him. You're never going to completely look like him. But that's our goal. God's goal on this earth is not to make you happy. God's goal in your life is to grow you to be a spiritual mature person. True happiness only comes from holiness. It only comes from being like our Father in heaven. In heaven, you're going to be happy for trillions and trillions of years. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that at all. But happiness on this earth is fleeting. It goes away. But joy lasts forever. This time on earth that we have, these few years, is called the development stage, and it's getting us ready for eternity. Not everything works perfectly on this rock. Nothing works perfectly. And not everything goes the way you want it, right? Right? Nothing ever goes the way you want it. You try really hard and it doesn't work the way you thought it would. God doesn't want you to be a spiritual baby all of your life, and a lot of you are still pooping in your diaper. And you shouldn't be. God has called you to grow up, to grow up. He wants you to grow up in this mess of this world that we live, this world that unfolds in front of us every day. Now, one of the ways that God grows us is by tests. And he grows us by trials. and the things that are put in front of us on a daily basis. And God builds us up through those tests. So when you go to a gym, you work out and you try to test your muscles. You want to see how much you can lift. You want to see your stamina. You want to see how far you can get it, how far you can take it. And that's all right. But God builds our character through the same way, through a series of repetitive trials, a series of repetitive tests. And those tests of your faith, they test your character. They test who you are. It grinds at your core. And your core either fights back or it accepts it and says, yes, here I am, Lord. Do your work in me. Do your thing in me. And some of you are doing that, and some of you are not. The good news behind all that is that behind every test and every trial that comes, God has a purpose for that test. Now, please get this. The stuff that happens to you that's hard is not some arbitrary thing. The problems that come into your life are trials for your character to grow to be more like the one who made you. Every problem has a purpose, and it is designed to transform your core of who you are. And either you let it grind and work in there, or you fight it and you deny it and you push it away. I want you to look at James chapter 1, and we're going to look on the screen. It's kind of our text to start this today. It says this: whenever trouble comes your way, and it comes your way a lot, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, what happens? Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when it is fully developed, you will be strong in character and you will be ready for anything. Anything. For when your faith is tested, you grow. And so I start off today by saying, just like Ella, let it grow. Let it grow. Let your faith grow. That's what you want to do. You want to let that test, you want to let that trial come at you and say, God, what is it you want to grow in me today? Just like, did I say it? What'd I say? Ella? Elsa! I got a bunch of girls and grandkids and I forget the name. Sorry, screwed up. Thanks, Kels. Why don't you just get up here and talk today? You did a lot better job than... It's true. That was awesome. James says when your faith is fully developed, you become strong in character and you're ready for anything. If you're a child of God, and most of you are here today, you have strong character. You are resilient. You are responsible. You are strong. You are a strong woman. You are a strong man. You are a strong mom. You're a strong dad. Because you have a strength of God's character. Because you are a child of God. Now notice those two phrases that James says. When your faith is tested, you get transformed character. Character develops into something that cannot be shaken. They go together, and you go, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that I have to have tests to get stronger, but you do. We do all the time. And what I want to do today and next weekend, and by the way, you got to come back next weekend because this is a two-part sermon. I want to talk about six trials that God can use to transform your core. Six trials that God is going to use to transform your core of who you are. And we're going to use three different characters in the Bible: Noah, Abraham, and Moses. Three guys you've heard of that went through incredible trials, that went through incredible tests, and you're going to go through the same exact ones. And so we're going to look at their lives a little bit today. We're going to open it up, and next Sunday we're going to close it back. So come back, please. Let's start with the first guy, Noah. You all know Noah, or you've heard of Noah. The Bible tells us that God created the earth, and it was perfect. It was a great place. And man screwed it up. Man messed it up royally. It was this perfect place. It was Eden. The longer man went around and lived, he made it a mess, and a mess of a place. And one day, God is looking down on the earth, and he sees it, and he goes, oh, my goodness. What a mess. What a mess this is. And he sees one man, Noah. Here's Noah. And the Bible says as he looks around, he sees Noah and says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm grateful for Noah, because if it wasn't for Noah, none of us would be here today. Noah made a way for us. And so Noah gets told some interesting news. And the Lord says to Noah, I'm going to flood the earth, and I want you to build a big boat. We're going to call it an ark. Good name. And I'm going to bring all the animals to you, and we're going to put your family in there with all these animals, and we're just going to start over. If you were Mrs. Noah, I think Keith used to call her Nogla, Mrs. Nogla or something like that, but would you believe that your husband said that to you, and when he comes to you and says that, would you believe it? Or would you go, what in the world are you talking about, Noah? Have you been drinking the grape juice, or what's going on? What are you talking about? So the first trial that's going to come up on the screen here is this. God, when he comes to us and he wants to do something in our core, he gives us a new task. He gives us a new dream. Some of you have had new tasks and new dreams presented to you by God, and you've chosen to go, no thanks. No thanks. See, God's going to come to you and say, here's something I want you to do. Here's something I need for you to be a part of. Or here's something I want out of you. Would you go do it? So God gives a new task. And it could be as big as all get out. And it seems, most of the time, it seems impossible when God comes to us and says this. And we say things like, you talking to me? Or, moi? Not me. You got to get somebody else. And you've done that time and time again, and so have I. You've got the wrong person here, God. I'm not going to go talk to her. I'm not going to forgive them. You got your Bibles. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I got to talk a little bit about Hebrews 11 today, so you can just hold on to it. And I ask you this today to start this. What's some of the things that God's been asking you to do and you're going, pfft? What's some of the things that God's been asking you to do and you're going, pfft? He doesn't know what he's talking about. God, you're silly. You don't say that, but you're doing it with your actions. You want me to do what? Nah. No, I'm not going to do that. Hebrews 11 says this. I don't know if I put it or not. I think I did. Yeah, I did. Great. When God gives us a difficult new task or dream, we say this, what, Lord? It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. And that's usually what God does. He comes to you and he tells you about something that has never happened before, and he wants you to do something about it. And you have the choice to say, yes, Lord, or no, Lord. When God asks you to do something new or difficult, you look at it and go, how, me? He says it never happened before. It never rained before. Never. They didn't even know what rain was in that part of the world. It never happened before. The Bible says that Noah, God comes to him and asks this impossible thing out of him. So notice that when God says, I want you to do this, it may be not to build an ark, but it may be you got to go talk to that person, have that hard conversation. It may be giving your tithe in an economy when gas is $5 a gallon. It may be something very, very difficult, hard for you. I work 6 days a week. You want me to come to church on a regular basis? I need a day of rest. Okay. God said, you know, gather together. Okay. All right. Faith is facing the future without knowing the what. He didn't know. Noah had no idea what was coming up ahead. But faith is knowing the future without knowing the what. Noah built an ark in faith. Hebrews 11:1 says it this way. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not, what we cannot see. You've got this big task that God puts on your heart. Go love on that person. Go give that person some time. Go spend time. Go volunteer. Go help them. Go work at the hub. What do you do with that? Faith is facing the future without knowing the what. You've got this big task. Will you do it? Will you do it? Or will you go, God, I know better. In essence, God, you're kind of dumb. What do you know, God? Why? What are you asking me to do it? Why don't you let Dave do it, or let Rick do it, or let somebody else do it? Not me. I don't want to do it. The second trial that God runs us through is not just a new task, but a major change. A major change that comes at us. The second is a major change. I call this the where test. We had the what test with the first one, but this is the where test. Where do you want me to go? Where? Show me. Where are we going, Lord? A good example of this is that good old guy named Abraham in the Bible. Abraham. Hebrews 11, 8 and 10 says this, watch. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Dang, that's a lot of faith. He had never happened before. What do you want me to do? You want me to leave home? Where, God, where is it you want me to do this? Abraham is a guy who lived in a city called Ur. Everybody say that with me, Ur. That's a bad sound, isn't it? Sounds like a burp. Ur, you know? He lived in this place called over by Chaldees, it's actually in Iraq. And so God is asking him to go move to closer to Palestine and where Israel is. And so he's got this whole stigma of having this place where he's from. Where are you from? I'm from Ur. Oh, it sounds like you just had a burp. Thanks so much. And where are you from? Well, I'm from Ur. Oh, that's a weird sounding place. God says, I picked you up. I want you to pack everything you got, and I want you to move your family and go away. And I'm going to make you a great nation, by the way. All right. This is an especially difficult move for him. Let me get this to you. He was 75 years old. Anybody in here 75? Raise your hand if you're over 75. Come on, John, get it up there. I see. I knew you were. Yeah. This was hard. Abraham had money. He had lots and lots of money. And he had lots and lots of stuff and lots of people. And God says, come to him. I want you to uproot and I want you to go. I want you to go. And I want you to move to a new country. And Abraham says, where are we going? I'll let you know. How will I know when to get there? I'll let you know. What direction? Just head that way. How long is it going to take? I'll let you know. Would you move if God said, I'm going to not tell you where you're going, but I just want you to go? It's a serious question. I'm asking you. Would you go if God came to you and said, I want you to move, and I'm not telling you where you're going to go? That's a lot of faith. See, this is the where test. The where test is saying, I'm going to move, but I don't know where yet. And the test of your character, it's a test of your faith. Faith is following God's leading without knowing where you're going. That sounds incredibly hard. And I'm not sure that any of us are there right now. It's a second test, the where test, that builds your character, that leads to change. Faith is following where God is leading. Abraham does this. He packs up everything. He gets all the animals packed in the U-Haul. They all get up in there and they take off. He packs up and he lives in a tent for years and years. He gets to Canaan and he gets to the land. He's gone, I'm here and it's time to settle down. And he doesn't settle down. He lives in tents for the rest of his life. That stinks. You want to live in a tent the rest of your life? In a hot, hot desert? I had everything. I had it all. And I got to live in a tent the rest of my life. But he was still obedient. Notice his faith didn't work out the way he thought it would. I want you to get that. Sometimes your faith doesn't work out the way you thought it would. The wear test. And the third trial, the third test, is a delayed promise. Delayed promise. Some of you are living in this today. A delayed promise. You can count on this one, folks. And I think some of you are living here. God has over 7,000 promises listed on the pages of the Bible for us. He is not guaranteed that he's going to fulfill all of them instantly. And he is not even guaranteed that he's going to fill them all here while you live here. But he's going to fulfill them maybe in eternity. Maybe in eternity. God is not our genie where we can stick out our hand and say, God, I need you to do this. Many of us treat him so much like that. And we stick our hand out and say, God, would you do this thing? And he doesn't. And you know what we do? God. God, I know better than you. You're not going to listen to me. You're not going to give me my three wishes, so on you. God is not our genie. The delayed promise is where I call the when test. The when test. It's the, not just the what, Lord, not just the where, Lord, but when. When are you going to do it? And that's what pushes so many of you away from God. Because God doesn't answer the when. When, Lord? When are you going to answer my prayer? When are you going to hear me? When are the things going to change in my marriage? When is this guy that I'm married to, this lady that I'm married to, when is she going to change? When is it going to change? When am I going to get married? When am I going to graduate? When am I going to have a baby? When am I going to get that promotion? It's when we get that question that the third test really, really takes root in us. And it comes right to the core of who we are. And Hebrews 11 answers this in a wonderful way, 8 through 10. Even after Abraham reached the land of God promised him, he lived there by faith. This is a sad little commentary if you think about it. He did all that. He did everything that I just told you. He uprooted his family, went out and did exactly what God told him to do, for he was like a foreigner, living in a tent. Now get this, not only was he living in a tent, so were his sons. So were his sons, Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confidently, listen, why did he do it? Because Abraham did this because he was confident looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. And most of us are not there at all. We have no concept of eternity. We don't even deal with it. It should be on your to-do list every day to think about what you're banking away for eternity, about what eternity is going to be with, who you're going to be, who's going to be in eternity with you, who you're taking with you. But no, you're too busy doing your things. You're too busy on your phone. You're too busy doing whatever it is you do to think about eternity. What allowed Abraham to live in a tent for all those years and his sons to live in a tent and to live in sweat and to live in squalor for all those years was that he was thinking about what was going to come after he was gone. I want you to notice the promise that's used twice there. Very important word. It was a promise to him by the same promise that God wants to base your life on. The promise of explanations is this. God wants you to take a giant leap in your character, in your faith today. He is calling you to make a giant leap in your faith. And I want you to get this. God wants you to build your life on his promises, not on your 401k. Not on what political party is in power. Not on anything that's going on around you except this, on eternity. God is God, and I'm going to really get stern with you for just 2 seconds. I've been as loving as I can, and I want to be very stern with you for a second. So hang on, buckle up. I don't ever do this very much. God is God, and you're not. God is God and you are not. God is not going to explain everything that happens in this world and when it happens and how it happens and all the stinking reasons why it happens. God doesn't owe you an explanation for everything. He wants you to trust his promises. He wants you to trust his explanation. God had promised him Israel, and what he got was a tent. There's delay. There's delay in the ownership. And I'm sure Abraham was a man and he was going, when, God? When are you going to fulfill it? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? The Bible calls him a stranger. A stranger in his own country. This dude that was a mega billionaire. He's a stranger in his own country. Because why? He had faith. And it didn't work out exactly the way you would think it would. When, God, are you going to take care of the issue? When are you going to take care of this relationship? When are you going to take care of my finances? When are you going to take care of my health? When are you going to do something about this world we live in where there's the government tells us there's aliens and we don't know if there's aliens or not. There's a Bigfoot. Well, is there a Bigfoot? Is there not a Bigfoot? What's a Strait of Hormuz? There's political unrest all around us. People killing people. People being wrong. Jesus, sweet Jesus, when? When? You ever been there? Faith is waiting for God's timing without knowing the when. That's why our cores need that. Which of these tests are you facing right now? An impossible task? That's the what phase. Are you at what? Are you considering a major change? Where, Lord? Where? How about this one about a delayed answer? When? I think a lot of us are there. I know you've got the other two going on too, because God comes back around. There's other things. There's nothing wrong with asking God what, when, and where. The problem is if you get stuck on those things and that's all you do. Because God is saying to some of you, here's what I want you to do, and you're not doing it. And you're just telling him off, God. You're just telling him that. You can be offended by that all you want, but that's what you're doing. Let me summarize what it means to live by faith. It's facing the future without knowing what is going to happen. Faith is following God's leading without knowing where. Faith is waiting on God's timing without knowing when. Let's pray as the band comes. Jesus, we love you. And I pray that you would just help us to try to stop thinking that you owe us, that you owe us an explanation for why things aren't going on the way they're supposed to. That we think that somehow that just because things aren't going like we thought they were going to, you have a promise. You promise me, God, that you still have a plan and a purpose, and you have a promise, and you're going to fulfill that promise. But God, we have a part in that too, and our part in that is obedience. It is obedience to the things that you say. To not go to you, God. Just God is, what do you know? Because God, you know everything. You made us with a plan and a purpose. And God, we want to get in line with that plan and that purpose. We want to be who you want us to be. We want to rest in your goodness, in your mercy, in your grace. And we want some joy in our life. We don't want to be in this world of fear, this world of wonder, and not know that you're not in control, because God, you are in control of everything that's going on. So right now, we come to you and we repent. We ask for forgiveness. We ask that you would do a work in us this day, through this ministry time, that you would just meet us right here as the band sings. And you would start that transformation in us. God, we give you permission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew